Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and we have today my marvelous co-host, Caroline Allen. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you this afternoon?
We're great.
Good. That's good.
You're warm and toasty and not involved in any of these nasty snowstorms in the Midwest?
Thank goodness. I am not involved in any of those.
Well, for all of our listeners who may be in the Midwest in a snowstorm, have some hot chocolate, put your feet up, listen to some interesting stuff, and forget your woes for a moment or two.
Good afternoon. Listen to the radio.
Indeed. And for the rest of you who are not in snow and torment and hail and all that stuff, listen, kick back. We've got a good show going today. And for those of you who might be interested in a healing or want to talk to the cherubim about some question that you have in mind, or even Archangel, maybe Archangel Michael could be coaxed to come visit. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in the U.S., and if you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And my dear friends, don't wait to the last minute to call in. We know you guys like to hang back a little, see what's going on before you actually stick your toe in the waters and give us a call. But we do spend a lot of time with each one of our callers, and what we find is we have a mad rush towards the end. We're ready to get off the station, off our show, and then you all wake up as if you were in the midst of a long sleep trying to get on the radio. So, Caroline, we had an interesting conversation earlier about our topic for today, and you did raise a very interesting question. And what that was, if I might paraphrase a little, because this isn't exactly how you said it, but the question was, would the body tend to break down if we did not actualize our spiritual goals? Was that kind of what you said, or do I have it all wrong?
No, you don't have it all wrong, but it's not necessarily just spiritual goals.
Okay.
I mean, we have physical, mental, and emotional goals that we also set for ourselves anytime from the time we're children on up into our 20s, and sometimes those are met and sometimes they're not. And I think one of the things that God was talking to me about this week was that you need to sit down, look at those, think about those things, enumerate them, and resolve and release the ones that have not been met, so that you're either making a new goal or you're releasing an old one, so that your body itself does not start breaking down and thinking, oh, well, you know, the game's over, because these things haven't been accomplished.
Well, we don't want the game to be over.
No, we sure don't. Not yet.
No, these are some exciting times. We have things happening in this world today that haven't occurred here in eons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all here participating in this incredible time of history, and we need to enjoy it as best that we can. Do you care to elaborate a little bit more on this, such as, the body breaking down?
What I had been talking to God about was asking the question, why is it that some people who have what I would call chronic illnesses don't seem to be able to heal. They don't seem to be able to accept a healing from healers or heal themselves, or things start even compounding. you know, there'll be another something added to the first illness, to the second illness, and so on and so forth. And why is that? Why do some people have that sort of situation going on? And, of course, there isn't just one answer to that question because each person has a different situation. But he said in some cases what happens is that people who have set particular goals or have had particular dreams about where they're going to be at a particular time in their life, and if that doesn't occur, then may start having illnesses come up that become chronic, not just, you know, they don't just get bronchitis, but they have bronchitis until it turns to COPD, or may have it every winter. They always have it. You know, there's some physical ailment that tends to just kind of hang on instead of moving on and being healed. And that is sometimes the body's response to the loss of the accomplishment of a particular goal or dream or expectation. And they feel like they fail themselves. And maybe also their parents or whoever else they've, you know, sort of bought that dream from. And so, what was that?
I don't know. Maybe there was a phone line being emphatically agreeing with us.
I don't know. May have been.
That may have been. Or it might be a caller.
Is there a caller?
Is yes. there a caller?
Yes, it's a caller.
Okay, and your name, sir?
This is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
How are you?
We're great. Apparently, something that we were discussing kind of intrigued you?
Yeah. That topic was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling about, there was the last time your show aired, there was a lady that came on and she had headaches. And that kind of reminded me of my problem.
Oh, okay. That wasn't on the Saturday show. That was on a Wednesday show, I believe, right?
Yeah, the Wednesday show.
Right, okay. Caroline, we had someone on one of the Wednesday shows who had been in an automobile accident and had suffered from headaches. And Charlene was on at the time, and she worked with this individual. And so Ron is calling. Apparently there was something about that call that he wanted to discuss today. So, Ron, you're calling in, I'm assuming, if I'm right, is to say that basically you have been suffering from headaches or you were in an automobile accident. Which one of those two rang a bell with you?
Both. But,
oh, okay.
When I was a child, I had a really bad head trauma. And it seems ever since then I've had these migraine headaches that they're increasing, I think. Well, I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that. And I'm also seeing, this is a question for you, is I'm seeing a lot of blue lights.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ron, let's start with your first question so we don't cross over and get, get confused. So
okay.
I think the first thing is, Caroline, Ron is stating that he has migraine headaches. And apparently from some head trauma years ago, is there something that you can work with God with and perhaps alleviate this?
Yes, I think we can help him here. Where are your migraine headaches?
They're mostly at the top. In the front.
At the top, in the front. Okay. I ask that because people have migraine headaches in different parts of their brain, and so it's critical that you know where the pain is before you start trying
Sometimes I think it's other people's headaches, and those I can get rid of because I just tell them to cease, and those will stop. But
Ron, because sometimes other people can be the result, the beginning of our headaches.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you definitely got you've got some nerve damage in that area up there, where what's happening is that the impulses from the nerves are almost getting cross-wired sometimes. So that is causing you pain when there's it really looks almost like a bundle of wires in there, and it looks like the messages are not going completely through the right nerve. They're getting crossed in there. So
I've also noticed a twitch in my left eye, my eyelid.
Okay.
That I've never had before and just started.
Okay, well, let's see here. If we can get God going here on disentangling this and getting the nerves put back in their regular pathways. So I'm going to watch while he does that, while he or she moves the different, and you may or may not feel this. If it causes you a headache, to have a headache, tell me to stop, and we'll stop for a minute and let you recover a minute, and then we'll start again.
Okay.
But God's really pretty gentle when he does this sort of thing. He's showing me the nerves in different colors so that he's untangling and putting them back in their regular pathways, so they're not getting all mixed up in there when they get signals. Okay. It's about halfway done now. And you've got nerves here, some of which go down into your brain, some of which go to the muscles. And the tissues that cover your skull, and some that lay on top of the brain. Okay, and what he did basically was also sort of like a light switch. He turned off the light switch so that you would not feel the movement as much as you might otherwise have felt it. Okay, so now once he gets all of this wired back up, then he'll turn the light switch back on. And one of the nerves that was involved is one going down to your left eye, down to the eyelid. Ooh, I felt that one come on. Okay, so throw the switch and we're going to see how it looks in there. Okay, that's a lot better. everything's back in place and all the lights and the action, all the messages are getting to the individual nerves. And there's one which was going down to your optic nerve, your left optic nerve, and one going to your right optic nerve. And so those very often are, if you have had migraine headaches, sometimes it's your eyes that seem to sort of be going awry.
Yeah.
Your eyesight. Okay.
Yeah,
no.
Tunnel vision thing.
Uh-huh, right. Okay, so that's... That's all looking normal again. And I'm going to raise the serotonin level in there so you're not feeling as much pain or anxiety, and that'll help the muscles themselves until they get a little bit better adjusted.
Okay.
Okay, now, that looks a whole lot better. I think you're going to have a very successful outcome here.
Okay.
That's amazing, Caroline.
Oh, it really is.
This has really robbed me of a lot of days of my life.
It has. I didn't hear you, Ron. What'd you say?
This has robbed me of quite a few days out of my life.
You mean you've had a lot of migraines and you couldn't cope with other things that you had to do?
Well, yeah, it would debilitate me for the whole day.
Yeah.
So if you added all those days up, it's a lot.
Well, you're not going to have that anymore because all the nerves are back in place and all the lights are on, so everything's going to be working just like it's supposed to.
Oh, great.
Okay. Call us back, Ron. Let us know how things go.
I think he has a question for you, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
And we were just waiting for you to finish the first part.
Okay.
And so what was the second part, Ron?
Okay. Second part is I'm seeing a lot of blue lights. I've got one explanation, but I wanted to get your interpretation for it. Like it's like a camera flash. Camera flash, except for, when you blink your eyes, you can kind of see them. And there's quite a few sometimes.
Well, tell
I think
me
I know what
you,
they are, but
tell me what you think your explanation is.
I think it's my angels.
You think it's your angels?
Yeah.
Any particular angel?
Excuse me?
Any particular angel that you think this might be?
Well, the one that it seems like Michael.
I wanted you to say that, dear. I was being very patient. I was waiting for you to say it because from the time that Caroline has been working the other aspect, our dear friend, Archangel Mikael, as he likes to call himself, has been standing here next to me. As a matter of fact, I spoke to him earlier in the day, and I asked him if he were willing to come on the radio today and speak to any of our callers, and he said yes, he was. And so when you talked about the blue light and I felt his energy, I figured it had to be his energy that you are seeing and feeling. And so I'm going to turn to him now and see what he wants to add to this conversation. It must be something humorous because he has such a tremendous sense of humor, and I'm feeling it right now. He's making me laugh, so let's see what he has to say. Actually, before he says anything, Ron, he is holding a staff in his hand. It's not the usual sword that he has. He has a staff. It reminds me of the kind of staff that a shepherd might have, or if you see Moses leading the Israelites in the desert, the kind of staff that Moses was holding, kind of like a crook on the top of it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he is showing this to me with the thought of you accepting this, that it is a reminder of your ability to lead. And this is the part that kind of is cracking me up a little bit, because he says he's been trying to, as he is saying, nudge your elbow a little bit. He's been giving you the little nudge.
Yeah.
And he adds to that you understand that this is the time that he is gathering his light workers together. Did you feel a sense of that when he was nudging you on the elbow?
Yes. Yes, I did.
He is calling his army of light workers together. We all came with him when we came to this planet, and now is. And he says this quite humorously. Graduation day is upon us.
Yay!
Yes. Yes. And so it was, it is, not was, it is the nudge of the reminder of awakening. And what he has come to tell you that while, yes, what you thought was accurate actually is accurate, and he wants you to have more of a communication with him, knowing and understanding that, yes, Ron, this is he who is speaking to you. Open up your heart to him. And he also adds to that, and to all of those who hear this, either live or in the archives, he identifies himself again as our elder brother. And I find that quite loving. He says this so many times. We think of Archangel Michael as being one on a pedestal, and we have put him on the pedestal because we thought that was the way to honor him. And for those in your heart who honor him, that is beautiful. But he also wants us to know and to feel that he is our big brother. And by the way, Ron, we only ask for first names here. Did you sign up for the April conference call with Archangel Michael?
No, I was about to. I was kind of wondering about the schedule, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Well, we're setting up schedules that's convenient to people. And also at our conference calls, we're having between 10 to 15 at a time on a conference call, and you'll have an opportunity to ask your personal questions there.
Okay.
Ron, bless you.
Well, thank you.
Delighted that you called in. Call again.
Okay. Thank you, Caroline and Carolyn.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, he is so beautiful. He is so beautiful.
He is.
Did you see him, Caroline?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I figured you did. She says, oh, sure. Like, oh, yeah. He's our next door neighbor. I saw him come out on the front porch and pick up the newspaper. How do you see him, Caroline?
How do I see him?
Mm-hmm. You know, we've had times when we have spoken about angels before and how they appear to you. I'm just curious as to, like, when you see Archangel Mikael or Michael, however you pronounce it, how does he present himself to you?
Well, he's always blue. This blue light not only surrounds him but infuses his energy field,
mm-hmm.
and him, and he's very tall and very physically fit, because, and I think part of why I see him like this, I also see him as a warrior angel,
mm-hmm.
is because I work with the Warrior Band of Angels, and he's our leader, basically. And so I see him in that presentation with his sword. And
well, that sounds like another caller calling on board. We have
a caller.
Carolyn,
this is Richard. How are you doing today?
Hi, Richard. We're doing great.
I missed my calls with you. I've moved to a different city, and I'm with a different company, and I've got a couple questions for you today, if you got a moment.
Okay.
First is...
You sound like you're having fun, Richard.
I'm in a new company now, and the people that I'm with, it's a much better spiritual place for me to be in right now.
Like I said, you sound like you're having fun.
You had mentioned I was in a place that wasn't productivity for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome that you're in a new place.
That's all good. A few weeks back, you had, Carolyn, the other Carolyn, had worked with an individual on since this is the month of working on chakras, I wanted to know if you could take a quick moment and look at my chakras and see anything that's not working and needs to be. I'm thinking I'm ready for that upgrade.
We're all ready for an upgrade.
Okay. You'll check them all out. By the way, if there's anybody else who's listening who'd like to have their chakras checked out and replaced if they need to be replaced, and if there's anything that needs to be fixed, if you'll just sit there and have it be your intention to have your chakras balanced, then we'll do everybody at one time. How about that? So everybody take 3 deep breaths. Breathe way down into your abdominal area and then release it. Start with the first chakra and work our way up. That's a very quick process. And basically what's happening is your chakras that you have now have just been taken out. Thank them for the work that they've done, please. And then your new ones are going to be put back in. Or put in, rather. Okay, and you may see a guide over you running his hand above your body and raising the chakras and making sure that each one's turning in the correct manner. Okay. Everybody's got some new chakras going there.
That was faster than going into the grocery store and doing some shopping.
It is. I mean, the room's always just full of all kinds of angels, guides, and masters, and they're sometimes kind of lounging around watching and listening, and then if I say something like that, everybody snaps with tension and goes to somebody. And
I love it.
Starts working. So, yeah.
Well, Richard, did you feel or see anything?
I usually feel more than I see, and I can feel a vibration on my back with actually an emphasis on my crown chakra as well.
I love it.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can you see if, a few weeks back I was on the phone call when Archangel Michael was assigning warrior angels to individuals.
I think that
time.
Was in the February conference call.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still having a hard time placing a name with that.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Richard. It's the humor that I'm receiving on this other telephone line that I'm listening to. And Archangel Mikhail is here, and he asks very lovingly, and it is very lovingly, why is it necessary to put a name to this? That have you not felt the connection? Have you not felt the aid, the help?
I've felt a connection and I've felt a presence. I guess it's my good wanting to put a name to it for ease of communication.
And he did add one other word, the support. In other words, what he's saying, Richard, is more important than a name is the connection, the support, the love, the guidance. And these are much more important than names. And here's why this is me speaking as far as names are concerned, is because on different levels, names do not sound the same. And so when we move from one dimension to another or one planet to another, the sounds and the meaning in one dimension changes as you go to another. There is another aspect of that also is sometimes when you are working with someone, they really don't wish to give a name. Now, some of the people who were on that conference call in February, Richard, they called back later, and they couldn't feel the connection with the angel, and we helped them feel that connection to that angel, and that angel did give them a name. So give them their name. So sometimes I have found in just observing this that the angel will give you the name and other times they do not. And what Archangel Mikhail is saying to me right now is that sometimes you do not receive a name because it is an element of trust.
Okay.
And he is adding to that in your respect. He is just making me giggle. I'm sorry, I can't help it. He's just so loving as he is saying this, that in your situation, that this is what you need to be working on, the element of trust. And he adds to that, that when you finally hear your warrior angel's name, that you've passed the test.
So I've got to do a little bit more waxing on and waxing off.
So I think you're being tested here, Richard, and the objective here is to be more trusting.
I guess the question that I had in mind was is that when I was in my last place, I was using one of Dr. Fred's meditation pyramids, and I could get to that state of vibration at a much quicker pace and an easier pace. Since I'm in my new environment, I don't have a place to put up a big pyramid. I'm having a hard time getting back to that vibration and that place that I could get to before.
Now, when you say put up a pyramid, are you meaning in actuality a hard, solid pyramid?
Yeah. Dr. Fred on this radio station, I've got one of his meditation pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly big in size. It's organ-plated.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, and what Archangel Mikael is saying to me is, and you gotta like this, Richard. I mean, I like it. He is saying that the mind, in actuality, is more powerful than the arrangement of particles on this plane. Do you understand what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can come across the same effect by using the power of your mind. Do you understand what he's saying?
I understand exactly what he's saying. For me, I'm having a hard time getting to that place without the device that was getting me there quickly. Maybe
okay.
I need to
he's also saying that you
device.
Are in a new location. And that because you are in a new location, you're in a different location, that you have to clear the energy pathways there, and you have to rebuild your vibrations in that area. And so it's going to take you a while.
It's a pretty crowded space. I was in a place with two people before, and now I'm in a place with six.
But you are in a different space. And see, where you were before, you had actually set up the parameters of placing your vibration in that area.
Okay.
I have found in some of my moves that it has taken 6 months for my energy to actually penetrate these inner spaces. Archangel Mikael is saying you will do this faster than 6 months, but give it a little time. And he is also adding, to that, Richard, call on him, call on your warrior angel, and the fact that you can feel the energy of the angel that he has assigned to you has great meaning for your development.
Okay. Okay.
He's also saying, bless you. He's also sending his blessings to you, Richard.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also, we have, I don't know if you heard this, he's having another conference call in April, if you're not aware of it.
I'm on the list.
Huh?
I'm on the list.
Good. Well, take care.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Caroline's too, I'm sure. Of course.
Thank you again.
Folks, our phone number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Well, we've had quite an afternoon so far, haven't we, Caroline?
Well, we have. We've had a lot of people interested in different things. That's kind of neat. I like that.
Well, I like that too, but I was just thinking of you know, the things, the mental pathways in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Archangel Mikael tapping some people on the shoulder. I mean, this has been really, really exciting, I think.
Oh, I do too.
Yes.
Jump up and click your feet together.
Indeed. I'd do it if my desk wasn't so low.
I love it.
We have another caller in your name.
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi there. How are you?
We're fine, dear.
I'm so glad I got on to you today.
why you've tried in the past and couldn't?
Well, no, I've just never gotten the courage up in the past, but I've listened to you both, and I've had the pleasure of having a reading with you, Carolyn.
Oh, wonderful.
I was interested today to see if Caroline could help with an issue I have in my neck and my shoulder area. I've done acupuncture. I've done cranial sacral. And I noticed when you had the program info on that it was talking about aspirations, you know, could your physical body, if there was, I feel actually the opposite. I feel like this is kind of happening to keep me from doing my service. But it could be me doing it to me. You know what I mean?
First things first. Mm-hmm. First of all, we would like to say we're both so delighted that you took the courage to give us a call, and I'm happy for that.
Thank
so,
you.
Caroline, how about you working with Suzanne and see, first of all, the first part of the question, what might be done. Did you say your neck?
It's interesting because it tends to radiate, but lately, the past few months, it feels like it starts under my shoulder blade and then moves up into my neck. And I do get headaches from it, but I also feel that the primary pain is almost like over the bone where you move your arms back and forth. It's like some tissue that's over the bone.
Mm-hmm.
If I can press down on there or have my husband press real hard, it's like it almost hurts good, you know. So, but it's just, I think I also tend to carry a lot of tension in my upper body and my head. And, I mean, I'm not even the type where I can wear my hair pulled back because just the tension on my head gives me a headache.
How long have you had this, Suzanne?
Well,
is this a recent thing or has this been running on for a while?
It's been going on for a while, actually. I was in an auto accident where I got rear-ended back in, like, the late 80s, and I had chiropractic care for a long time. And it's just gotten worse, and I don't know if it's, you know, because I'm older now.
Did this start in the 80s?
No, it actually didn't really start until, the pain actually didn't start until about the mid-90s, where this started hurting my left arm.
It sounds like, though, you're connecting it to that accident. Are you?
Well, I kind of am, yeah,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I, now I, you know, I had headaches growing up and stuff, but before the accident happened, so maybe emotionally I'm connecting it with that, and there's some kind of emotional issue around not wanting to release it or something.
Might be. Caroline, mm-hmm. What are you seeing, sweetheart?
You're carrying an awful lot of weight on that shoulder. Are you somebody who worries a lot or somebody who feels like you're the person who goes out and rescues everybody in the family?
Now, how would you know that?
You're a rescuer, huh?
Well, I tend to be real sensitive like that, so I'm the one who people come to, but I've got to say, for all intents and purposes, if you look at my life, you think, what the heck does she have to worry about? I mean, I have a loving home. I don't have to work outside of my home. I've got two wonderful little dogs who I absolutely adore. And, but I do notice that I'm ultra sensitive to a lot of different things, and I think that does impact, you know, the headaches and the tension in the neck. And I mean, sometimes when Caroline said the weight, I thought like a mantle on me. Sometimes that's what it feels
mm-hmm.
like.
No, you've got like a, it looks almost like a solid rock mantle on there.
Actually sometimes felt like a steel plate in my back too, like it can't be moved, you know?
Wow. Yeah, it's really. Okay. Do you think you could reach to your back and take it off and hand it to the archangel, please. He's standing right beside you, facing you. And he
so I can just hand it over in front of me to him.
Mm-hmm. Hand it over in front of you to him.
Okay.
All right, now reach back again and pull the plate out.
I feel like it doesn't even want to come out.
That's okay. I'm going to get down at the very base of it and start pushing it up. Pull it out lovingly. Not like you're forcing it, but use your love to pull it out.
Yeah, that helps.
Okay.
And give that to him also.
Okay. Now, we're going to fill that space with God's golden light. We're going to release the pain, the tension, the need to suffer, the suffering. Pull that out too. The golden light is helping pull that out of there. And in its place, we're going to put, I am free, I am strong, I hand my worries and my need to rescue to God. For he can carry them all. And we're going to put in there, I respond to others with compassion and love, and I send them compassion, love, and light. Yet I accept their burdens. No. Okay. All that one, all the way down almost to the top of your kidneys. And now it's all gone and it's full of God's love and light.
Yeah, I can feel it feels completely different.
Good.
Were you finished, Caroline?
Wait just a minute. I did want to explain that when I made the last statement and said, I accept others' worries and suffering not, that means, or no, that means that you do not accept it. But the way you state it is, I suffer no. That's how the universe is set up, the understanding for the self. Okay?
So that you can still be loving and compassionate, but just not accept it as your own.
Mm-hmm.
Not accept that suffering.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I've always sensed, that I think I transmute a lot of people's energy for them
mm-hmm.
because maybe they can't, which I'm perfectly fine to do with, but not when it's painful. You know,
no.
It needs to be able to move through me easily.
Well, it doesn't need to even move through you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not required that you have any symptoms of their suffering or their pain or anything else that's going on with them. What you do is you have that energy come to you because of your compassion, and it comes to the outer shell of your energy field, and then it goes straight up to God to be transmuted. Okay, so you personally don't need to transmute it. You let God transmute it.
Okay.
Okay, so you see it come to you, you hear it come to you, that's fine. Just send it on up to God so that he can transmute it.
Perfect. I can do that.
Okay, and then it'll come back to them as his love and light. And what they choose to do as a solution to their problem is up to them and God, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have no expectation of what the result is going to be. That's something that they can work out for themselves and with God.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah. Yeah, we came here in service, and that is what our purpose is to serve each other. But we do not need to take on any kind of pain, suffering, resentment, anger. We don't need to take any of that stuff on ourselves. That's why God's there. That's why Jesus is there. That's why the archangels are there. That's why Mother Mary's there. They will take those things, and you send it to whomever you are comfortable communicating with, and let them transmute the things, because they know how to receive it and change it and send it back as love and light without accepting it within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we for generations and generations have felt like we need to take on all of this ourselves, and we don't. We don't need to take it on ourselves. That's God put us here to enjoy our lives, to be in joy. And we're the ones that have picked up on all these negative feelings and emotions, and we can just release them.
Yeah, and I noticed I grew up in a family where I realized, looking back, that it really wasn't acceptable for my parents to play and have fun. They didn't have that, so then, of course, I learned that. So I learned that worry is worthy, but having fun is a waste of time. And, you know, when you carry around that much of that energy for so long, it does become a mantle. And I guess that's exactly what I was experiencing.
Exactly. It does. It does. And that's one of the things that God was talking to me about today, about that, or this week, about the chronic pain that some people get. Because what they've done is they've taken in the suffering and the sorrow and the hurt and the pain, and they've kept it, thinking
that it's
they
righteous.
Personally can transmute it all, and they can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't each individually do that. But God's ability is unlimited, so we can just send it to him, and we're doing the same thing. We're just not taking it into our own bodies and making ourselves sick or making ourselves have any kind of physical suffering.
And also, I think, like you're saying, to get in the habit of acknowledging God's presence there and his willingness to help is going to achieve a better outcome for whoever happens to be the person you're concerned about at the time anyway, because we only can see so many outcomes.
Right.
Whereas they're unlimited, and whatever their soul's desire is or whatever. So, yeah, I guess intellectually I knew that, but, like, living it's a whole different story.
Suzanne, do you have a connection to Mother Mary?
Not that I know of. I mean, I grew up in the Baptist religion,
mm-hmm.
which is more, you know, you don't I'm familiar, obviously, with her, but...
Well, the reason that I asked is because when you and Caroline were having this discussion, Mother Mary came, and she came in the traditional appearance of those pictures that we see of Mother Mary. She had a crown on her head, and from her hands there are rays of light coming from her hands.
Oh, how beautiful.
And what she is saying is, yes, she is the Queen of Heaven, but she is also the mother of all here on this planet. And even though she has this great love for us, she understands that we each live our own lives and we make choices. And she is saying now that sometimes one of the most difficult things to do for a mother is to allow their child to have the room to make these choices. And it's because in love you want the very best outcome for the child, but the mother also knows that the child does not grow unless they make their own choices. And so she is saying from the point of view, yes, you give support, but you also have to allow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's actually what I've been working on, acceptance and allowance.
Mm-hmm.
In myself and others.
Good.
So I appreciate that.
That's great. By the way, your two little dogs love you very much, too.
Oh.
They just spoke up immediately when you started talking.
Really? Now, here one of them comes right now just looking at me. Well, I had lost one back in July, and I wrote you, and you wrote the most beautiful thing about how the love bond that we connect with them, how that moves on. Oh, I'm going to start crying.
Oh, you're talking
and you posted
about
it on the spiritual notebook.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that the most touching? I was beside myself with that because that he was my first dog. He was a little dachshund, and he opened my heart and my husband's heart. He was such a gift to us, and I just feel like he was a little angel sent to me. And you know, because I mean, things happen. Everything happens for a reason, and I was just really. I know I have a big heart, but I had really shut it down just because I am kind of sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And he was instrumental in helping me open that up. And then, of course, to have dogs around you, you know, they're just so loving.
Mm-hmm.
And so unconditionally loving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They sure are.
Mm-hmm. So that's been very healing as well. I'm just really grateful to you both for standing in your truth and for doing, you know, I just feel like you both have done what so many of us want to do, which is to find our purpose and to live that purpose.
Thank you so much for that compliment. We both really appreciate that. Yes,
sure,
it's a long road to find out where that little lane leads, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, for now, I feel like any smile I can give to someone else I cross on the street, any time, I mean, even if it's just small steps, I feel like that's what I'm going to do until I know if I have a grander purpose, because I know that there's that whole, you know, ripple in the pond effect, so to speak.
I'm glad you brought that up because I did put another part of a reading up in the spiritual notebook that had to do with that very same thing. That we all like to think that we've come in for some grand operating scheme, so to speak, and that this individual that we had done a reading for with the cherubim said that the purpose, their purpose that their soul chose in that in this particular lifetime was to do those little loving things that they had done. They had been through all those other paths. You know, we all, I believe, have walked the different paths at one time or another, and at least for this individual, She had done all those things, and now her soul chose to do those little loving things, and there was examples given of some of the things that we would consider ordinary, but yet make such a big difference in other people's lives. And so sometimes our soul just chooses to do that. You know, in the life of the saints, Saint Teresa was known for one of those saints who practiced the little things to perfection to show love. And see, your dog says yes.
Yeah. And I love that saying, God is in the details.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe that too. And I do really, you know, I mean, it's kind of gets you off the hook a little bit to think that you could be serving the divine in, you know, your little neck of the woods. But, I mean, how else are you going to do it? You know,
well, that's what we are doing. We're bringing down heaven to earth by doing these little acts, what some people say, random acts of kindness.
Uh-huh.
You know, yes, this is what I believe bringing heaven down to earth is all about, doing those little things lovingly and as best as we can.
Yeah, and keeping our hearts open and keep staying away from judgment and being self-aware and working on acceptance and allowance.
Golly, that's a long laundry list. Blessings to you, Suzanne.
Well, blessings to you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. This afternoon's getting more interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's great.
I love it.
I know. I love it, too. We never know which direction we're going to go in. That's what's fun about this.
I know. We had a topic, and we haven't even really talked about it. Maybe it doesn't matter.
I
don't know.
It has come up a bit.
You were talking about how you see Archangel Michael, and you were talking about the blue light. And I was hoping you would pick up one of your threads as to how you see him, because we were going somewhere with that before we had a last caller, I think.
You know, all of the angels, I think, really do us so many services. And one of them is that they appear as we think they look.
Well, apparently we're going to pick that thread up later.
Right.
We have another caller, and your name?
Hi, Carolyn and Caroline. This is Nancy.
Oh,
hey,
Nancy. I recognize your voice, love. We're so glad you checked in.
Thank you.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I'd kind of like to have Caroline check and see if my thyroid needs any kind of healing or replacing. And then I have a question for you.
Okay, we're doing double headers today, apparently.
I know we are.
What makes you think your thyroid needs to be checked out? This is just something you monitor on an ongoing basis?
Yeah.
Okay. Caroline?
I'm looking at it. Sure is kind of murky in there. Let's see. You know, the thyroid recycles all of the thyroid enzymes. If it gets too murky, it means it's usually not cleaning everything up as well as it should. Okay. Got the old vacuum cleaner there, and we'll vacuum it all out. See if we can't get some clear enzymes coming in there and replace the filter so that it can filter and restore the enzymes back to their normal function. Okay, Nancy, now we'll go back into your DNA and see see if you've got a part of your DNA that needs to be corrected. So this is something you've inherited. Okay, let's get that DNA changed. Okay, we're going to call all your ancestral lines to come forward. And God's going to change it for all of them. And we're going to pull any pain, suffering, or anxiety. Not just the feelings, but also the mental worry and anguish. Pull it on all levels, in all lifetimes, in all time, in all dimensions, in all realities, in all space. Unlock any locked blocks. Pull the anchors from any belief systems that would hold us in. And pull any curses, hexes, spells, or cords or ties that would bind you. And we send all this to God to cleanse, to purify, to forgive, to resolve, and to release into the universe this beautiful golden light. And in its place we put normal thyroid function, as well as I am healthy, I radiate health, I am full of energy, I am love, I am light. I am my Father's dearly beloved child. Okay, all your ancestors were so excited.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, in a lot of our lifetimes, we didn't really have enough to eat. And because of that, our thyroid function was not normal, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
The thyroid didn't have to work as much as it normally would if you had as much food as you needed. So there are a lot of people whose thyroids don't work perfectly as they were created to work because of the fact that we've had lifetimes in which we've had no food or bad food, and so that made our thyroid function not exactly what it should be.
Wow.
Yeah, so once it's changed for your whole ancestral line, then it clicks in for each, like for each one of them, say your mother's line, your father's line, okay?
Uh-huh.
It then clicks in with their spouses and their lines, so it just keeps multiplying as it goes back. And it corrects a lot of lines when you do that, which is very exciting. I love to see it. And I love to see all the people stepping up. I mean, they just rush up. You know, now, we do have some, I don't know, we have some that are, I call them Germans. I don't know if that's correct, but they'll all line up. But then we have some that are like sheep, and they just come up in this little herd, this little flock. You know?
Wow.
So it's interesting to see how they all show up.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you feeling?
You know what? I feel a little bit different. I know I felt vibration in my throat area.
Good.
And I just feel like, yeah.
Now, you mean when Caroline was working on you, but I think what Caroline was saying is how do you feel in general, right, Caroline?
Well, both things I was asking for, so she was getting there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel better. I feel different.
Okay.
Maybe
well,
a little bit more energy-wise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you haven't had a lot of energy, and I felt that last couple of times you've called in that your energy was really low.
Yeah.
And that is one thing I will mention, that this the new energy that's coming in now is really doing a number on most of us in terms of our energy. Overall, somebody who may be very energetic may not have been very energetic in March and April and will continue to be that way in May. But then... by the time June comes, we should have all adapted to this new energy.
I love it as she yawns.
I know. I was like, okay.
We're doing a demonstration here.
I know. Just honor your body and rest and sleep when you need to.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Did you have a question for Carolyn, too?
Yeah, I did, if that's okay.
Yeah, we're doing double headers today, apparently. We can do it because we've got a two-hour show today.
Well, my question was, if Archangel Michael can answer this, what is there that I can be doing to help myself move forward and to heal?
Is this question primarily around healing?
No, it's spiritual. It's as far as, you know, what I'm getting or feeling as well as healing.
So it's your question really is, does it have to do with the next step that you should take? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. So you're, well, I feel like I know your heart, Nancy, in the sense that you really want to move forward and you want to progress spiritually and you want to grow, and that truly is a beautiful thing. And I just want to make sure that that I have your question accurate, is you're really talking about the next step to take on the road towards perfection. Is
yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got it right, because you know that game of whisper when a couple people whisper things to one another. I think he's still about. Let's see. I would suspect that he is around, because what he's saying, he's calling you, my dear Nancy, the love of my heart.
Wow.
Yes. Well, he loves all of us, but from what I have seen is, he is especially endeared to those who really want to move ahead, who are on that upward path, and that path can be very steep at some points. And he is showing me that path right now, Nancy, that you are on a very steep part of the path. And I think you know what he means by that. You know, when you start out on the road, towards perfection, it is a gradual rise, so to speak. And we pass through different points, different challenges, and when we overcome those challenges, the road appears to be a little more steep. And it's almost like trying to walk up a mountain, so to speak, and you get to a point where that pathway become steep, and this is what he is showing me right now, where you are concerned, that you are making great progress, he says,
it is sometimes you feel that you aren't, because you are on that part of the path that is steep, which means you have come a long way, Nancy. You, like others, started out when that path was just a gradual movement upwards, and now you're getting very close to the top. And so it seems sometimes that you are not moving along like you should, but you are. And he says now, the most important thing is intent. And it is the intent in your heart that moves you in the direction in which you are going. And the only thing that he says to you is not to be so worried, just understand, relax, that when you have the intent to perfection, that the angels kneel down to you, that they are so happy, joyous is really the word, when one human being decides that they wish to follow their maker. And they will do anything that they can to assist them. And, dear Nancy, you are at that point.
Wow.
So what he's saying, Nancy, relax. They are all there to help. You are at that point where you are facing challenges, and sometimes they seem like they're overwhelming to you. But just know that you are making progress, and you have the assistance of all those in the spiritual realm. And he is reminding me to tell you to call on him. He hears you.
I can do that.
Of course you can. Blessings to you, dear Nancy.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So you were saying, Caroline, that one of the beautiful things, I think this is how you said it, I'm probably paraphrasing it, that one of the beautiful things about angels is that they present themselves to us. Well, we'll pick that up on the other side of this call. We have a caller. And your name?
Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Carolyn. How you doing?
We're doing great, dear. What can Caroline and I do for you?
Well, I was diagnosed, and I'm in my early 50s, with osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was going to a spiritual healer and chiropractor sort of combination, he told me it was because my body could not process the minerals and things that I needed. And so I was just wondering if you could check me out and see if that could be cleared, or what was causing it, or all the above.
We're glad you called, Susan. What do you think, Caroline? I'm sure you're taking a peek right now.
Well, I am, but I'd really like to hear why she chose to come in with this from you, because I think you can do a reading on that would help with the healing.
Okay. So you are, I just want to kind of walk through this a little. You're looking at Susan, and you feel from what you are seeing that Susan made a choice to come into this lifetime with this condition of what? Should we call this osteoporosis, or was there something underneath of that we should look at?
I think saying osteoporosis is fine. The angels are going to know what's going on anyway.
Okay. So you want me to ask the cherubim to find out why Susan decided that she was going to choose this.
I think that's key to determining what needs to be changed here.
Okay. Give me a moment, Susan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. what the cherubim are saying, Susan, it's not so much the situation of osteoporosis, but rather a challenge of a physical condition. And so what they're indicating is it could have been this or actually anything, that you chose, and they mentioned that so this is true of many human beings on the planet at this time, that a physical condition is they're showing me what looks like a little note, like you've written this little note on a piece of paper, like a little sticky, and you stuck it in your file.
Oh my
this
goodness.
Is so cute. You stuck it in your file as like a little reminder. You know, if things just don't go the way we think they should, we're going to pull out this little sticky note here and have this challenge, whatever it is that you chose at the point. And now they are getting serious. And what the serious aspect of this is to remind us that this is the time to awaken to our spiritual heritage. This is the time to touch base with the Maker, with the source of all, to make this complete circle, to come back to our spiritual heritage, because now is the time that we approach the division of the dimensions. And so what this little sticky note was, if you weren't prepared enough to be determined enough to follow this path, to be on the other side of this vibrational split in the dimensions, that you were going to, how shall I say this, trigger some physical reminder. And in that reminder, and they're taking a step further than that, it's not just the reminder, but the correction of that physical problem that will awaken you to what you must do spiritually. Was that clear?
That was pretty good.
Okay, Carolyn, I think the ball's in your court, dear.
Okay, well, that's very similar to what God was talking to me about this week, that a lot of people have chosen these conditions to help turn their attention to their spiritual growth and development. Okay, now, how long have you had this?
Well, I just was diagnosed with it just a few months ago.
A few months ago?
Mm-hmm. Probably actually around January.
Okay. And if it's totally released, then are you going to continue your spiritual growth?
Oh, that's the only path for me. I mean, that's what I'm doing. That's what fills my soul, you know.
Okay. Okay. We want that stated. Okay?
Yeah.
So that your body hears that. All right, that's one of the things that I've learned in my healing work, is that the body sometimes needs to physically hear and become aware of what our choices are. And when they physically hear what your choice is, then that changes your cell structure. Your cells can hear every word you say. Okay. That can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing.
Right.
We'd like for it to be a good thing. Okay. So, what God's saying is that He wants you to write down on a piece of paper and say out loud to your body that you choose to be radiantly healthy and you choose to release any kind of physical disability. Now,
okay, do I need to do that right now?
He wants you to do it 3 times a day.
Okay.
Okay, for the next 13 days. And you can add, you know, whatever you feel like is appropriate to it.
Mm-hmm.
But just be sure that you are telling yourself that you are ready to release this trigger. You don't need it. You know what you've chosen to do.
Okay.
And what you've chosen to be. And it'll be gone.
Boy, that would be a wonderful thing. Because I want to do what I came here to do. I just don't want to do it with a crippled body, you know. I might as well have a good one.
Well, Susan, can I say something? And I know maybe you're going to say it. Don't mean to interrupt you. But instead of I will be, I am.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I am, for sure. You always put whatever you say in the present tense,
right?
You say, will that somewhere in the future.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to come, it's going to keep coming, but you need it right now.
Pardon me?
I say, yeah, it's sort of like your mind saying, yeah, we'll get to it.
Right.
Instead of knowing it's there.
It's there. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, because what's going on with you is not in your ancestral family line. It's not in your DNA. It's what the cherubim told Carolyn. It's like this little note you put in there to fully awaken, fully become aware of your awakening and how that's going to move you into what your true purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're aware of that now.
Mm-hmm.
You've taken note, so you can release the note.
Yeah.
And at the end of the 13 days, burn the piece of paper, release it to God, and you're going to be fine.
Good.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love it.
That's a whole lot cheaper than going to a doctor for years and years, isn't it?
I know.
Save a lot of money on medications.
Uh-huh.
Well,
exactly.
And they don't always help.
Exactly.
Bless you, Susan.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Caroline, before the next caller calls, why don't you give your telephone number in case there's some people who are not getting on today and want a personal reading with you.
Okay. My phone number is 540-586-2401. And don't get discouraged. I've got several people that I have not gotten to now for weeks that I've got to get to, but I have just been flammed, as they say in the restaurant business, for the past 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks really. And I still have a list of about 5 or 6 people that I have not gotten to. I will get to you as soon as I can, and I will call you back and find a time that we can work you in. But I've been working from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, and by that time I just don't even, I just want to take a shower and go to bed.
Thank you.
So it's been a really busy last 3 or 4 weeks.
We have another caller on the line, and your name, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Your name? What is your name?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear us?
I'm Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
How are you?
We're great. What's your question, dear?
Hi, can you hear me?
I think you need to move away from your computer because you've got two voices that you're hearing. One's
yes,
ours and one's the computer's.
Is that better?
Well, are you hearing us now? Just one
yes.
One voice?
I'm hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's your question, Barbara? Barbara, turn your computer off for a second until we're done with this phone call. Because you're not a...
I just did.
Barbara?
I don't think she can hear us.
Well, she has a computer on, and she's trying to listen to us.
Yes, I just shut the computer. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's your question, Barbara?
Oh, well, actually... Well, girls, I'm actually calling because I would like to thank you both for... Thank you for everything you do, and actually I wanted to call as well to say thanks to Archangel Mikael because of everything he's done for everyone. I have been translating his messages to all the people here in South America and has been helping a lot, and I'm also so grateful because of he's been accompanying me and my guardian angels as well. They have been so loving to me, and I just wanted to share my great gratitude with you.
Well, that's wonderful, Barbara. Thank you so much. Archangel Michael is a friend and loving elder brother to all of us. Yes. So if you don't have a question, Barbara, you know, maybe you can call back sometime when you do. And
no problem. No problem. I just wanted to say that. So thank you
beautiful.
Very much. And that's it. I will leave the line free for other people to call now. If
that's beautiful, Barbara. Thank you so much. Gratitude is wonderful. Goodbye. Well, Caroline, did you finish everything that you wanted to say about your telephone number and because I
yes.
think that you did.
And
so
you
if people don't get a hold
yours.
Of you, they can just leave their name and phone number on your recorder and you'll call
right.
them back.
I will call them back.
Okay. And as for myself, some of the people had spoken about some of the readings that we have done with them with the cherubim, and if you're so inclined that you would like to have a reading with them too, you can get that information from my website at www.carolynevers.com, and Carolyn is spelled C-A-R-O-L-Y-N.
And Evers is spelled
E-V-E-R-S. Thank you, dear. I figured everybody knew how to spell Evers, but maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't.
That's right.
Well, I was going to say, with our southern accents, too, sometimes people think we're saying a B instead of a V and that sort of thing.
Oh, so you think I have a southern accent. I thought you were the only one with the accent.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, dear. I thought that trigger was interesting, that the cherubim discussed with the last caller, because we think a lot about the problems, physical problems that we have with DNA and, with the ancestors, pollutants that we've picked up in the present world, mental attitudes perhaps that are negative, thoughts that we are using that is not helpful to us. And so that was kind of interesting, that little sticky note of
of a trigger.
Yes, I thought that was interesting. So you think we all have sticky notes at the this moment?
No, I don't think we all do. I think a lot of us do, but I don't think we all do. I think sometimes we have other triggers, not just a physical ailment, but we may have somebody, we may have a trigger pushed or a button pushed when a close friend or a family member dies, when we read a book that reminds us of who we are. I mean, there are all kinds of different ways in which we've set it up, and the angels have set it up for us to be awakened. You know, it can be a disaster somewhere far away that awakens you. There are just lots and lots of different ways to go about it. But I do think that a lot of us, and what I would call Western civilization, have been brought up for so many lifetimes in this idea that suffering is a good thing, because a lot of our religious backgrounds say that, and a lot of our churches tell us, you know, that that's part of what we have to go through. We don't really have to go through that, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up, because history is full of that. People who not only think that we have to suffer, but will inflict suffering upon themselves, penance of some sort, where it almost seems like it's a necessity to suffer to advance spiritually. So I'm glad you brought that up, because let us all make a mental note that now is the time to be in love, to be in joy, and allow those thoughts to move away. If that's the direction that you're going, the idea of suffering, of martyrhood, or taking on other people's burdens, now is maybe the time to really think about that and investigate that and make some changes in your life.
Yay.
Because your physical health really does depend upon that.
It does. Your physical health really does depend on that, you know, and that's not ever been something that our loving father and mother would choose for us to do. Never has been. But we choose to do it. We can release it.
Well, in all fairness, though, Caroline, I mean, I'm thinking of my own parents. They had a very difficult lifetime financially. You know, people, especially who went through the Depression, and after the depression, they had deep thoughts of lack. And so this was carried down. I think the present generation, you know, growing up, the little ones growing up now probably don't feel that. But we have a I think we have a generation of perhaps some older parents and grandparents who were brought up with that attitude, and that needs to be examined and released.
Yes, it does. Well, or, you know, let's you know, talk about the wars and the people that have been, the soldiers that have been in wars, and the citizens who've been victims of wars. You know, those things are not really necessary for us to go through. But we've been doing it for so long, we've forgotten that peace and love and joy are the reasons we were created, not fighting and fussing and killing each other. That's not what God intended ever.
And also, while we're talking on that subject, Caroline, I think it becomes very important that each one of us who can change those attitudes, who can live in joy and peace and bring more light into the world, means that the light here will be growing.
Right. It will.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, if we're going to change the world, to start with ourselves, to start with the most important person in your world, yourself.
Yes.
We're getting up towards the end of the second hour. This day's show will be in history soon, and if you're sitting back waiting to get the nerve to call, do call us. We're friendly. We would welcome you. The phone number here is 877-876-5227, and if you're in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. If you want to get your answers to some questions, you want to ask Caroline about some healing, call now. You probably have about 15 minutes left. And as I said, this show will be history. You'll have to wait for two more weeks.
Well,
so call
now. I have a question.
You do?
Yeah, I do. How did this woman from South America call? What number did she use? How did she call in?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of all of that. I do know that there are some telephone numbers that can call around the world, and they can call from different parts of the world. The Internet's an exciting place, dear. You know, this is part of the Internet family. We have a caller. And your name?
Good afternoon, ladies. It's Julia. How are you?
Hi, Julia.
I have a question, actually, if there's time for the cherubim.
Well, we'll certainly give it a whirl.
Well, something was recently told by a messenger of Archangel Michael's, or actually somebody who channels Archangel Michael. It was in regard to where I was from, and they said it was Cyrus, which isn't Sirius, but it's Cyrus.
Can you spell that for me? Because I'm not understanding, you know, the word.
I'm not exactly sure how to spell it. It sounded like S-I-R-U-S. Not Sirius, like the Sirius star system, but Cyrus. Like the god Osiris, only without the O.
I don't know if that was a mispronunciation and it was Sirius. Are you sure it wasn't Sirius?
No, because I asked, because
I was familiar
with Sirius, but they said, no, it's not the same.
Well, I'll see what they say, Julia, but tell me, dear, this is my own curiosity. This seems to be important to you, and I was wondering why. This is just my own personality asking.
It's a curiosity because I've read and heard a lot about, you know, we all came from someplace other than here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know that originally we came from God, you know, but apparently once we separated from the source, all that is, we went to specific places, inhabited them, and sort of as we've evolved, we've kind of gone here and there, trying different experiences in different places. But, you know, you hear people talk about, like, extraterrestrials, angels on Earth, you know, the different beings that are here.
There was a reason why I asked that, and it's because doing readings for people, the cherubim will view, because there is no time there, they are actually like seeing this in the reality of the moment, and there is a blueprint. Souls were called forth to, you might almost say, fulfill certain functions. And they then, from the best that I can tell, is we've all had we had tickets to the cosmos. We've been taking these trips, from what I can tell, we've been taking these trips to a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I guess that's some of my thinking. I almost feel like we're not really native of one particular place. We've had so many experiences.
Yeah.
And we're not, it doesn't seem from what I have learned that we go to one place and that's it. And that's why I guess I was kind of curious about that.
Well, it definitely struck a curiosity with me too, because, you know, had it not been the person said that, you know, they were channeling Archangel Michael, I probably would have, you know, not really given a, just like an interest, but a passing thought. But it's just, I know you work with them, so maybe.
There's another thing too, Julia. What I have found out is that in the different dimensions, sounds are different. That's why I've kind of, if you've noticed, I've kind of discouraged people to a certain point with names, because as we move through the dimensions, the sounds of syllables seem to change. Language seems, and it's probably because language changes.
Yeah, I know when they said Cyrus the first time, I asked, because, you know, I'm only familiar with Sirius.
Right.
So that's what I had thought, maybe she mispronounced it as well. And it was, the answer came back, no, it's a different place. So it's just, you know, it's just a curiosity, because I've heard, you know, that I'm, like, from different places, and, you know, some, it just gets confusing, and you start to wonder, you know, it's like, how can there be so many people saying so many different things? I guess we're all different, and we all have our own perspective, and we're all contacting different places where we get the information.
Well, Julia, I'll see what I can find out for you. It's kind of hard in one sense, and the sense is this person who gave you this information, I'm not sure she heard it right, and I'm not sure she gave it to you correctly. So what we will do is this. I think what you're really interested in is where your roots are.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much this word Cyrus as much as it is you want to know where your roots are.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Thank you.
Okay. I'll see what I can find out for you, Julia.
Okay, thank you.
What the cherubim showed to me is they showed to me a picture. They're androgynous, but they showed to me a picture of a female angel. And it is because they have this great attachment of love towards not only human beings here on this planet, but all creations that source, or what they call all there is, or supreme creator, has ever created. And so they show me a book, and what they are saying is, This book is your history. So in essence, it's not, it is, they do that for our understanding. It's not a book in the sense that you hold a book in your hand, but it is in reality a vibrational record. And it is interesting because this vibrational record is round. It sort of makes a counterclockwise circle as it moves in towards the inside. It like sweeps the information in a circle and deep out in it, deeper into the inside, and it is compacted in a certain fashion, and it is in a magnetic spot, and it is held by the cherubim. It is the accumulation of all of our records, of everything that we have ever been, everything that we have ever hoped to be, our desires, our advantages that we've had, and the manner in which we have responded to them, our intent. It is all there. So they have your record. It's a very, as you can imagine, it is a very large composite. They are going through the records right now. They are not seeing the word that you described to me, Theris. And it is not because, and they are telling me it's not necessarily because this information is incorrect. It is more because they are not certain of the pronunciation and the manner in which we are spelling this.
Yeah,
it would take more questions to get to this information. Now I'm asking them if there is a connection with you and Sirius. And they are saying yes, there is a connection between you and Sirius, as this is true for most of the souls on the planet at this time, that there is a connection with Sirius because most of the souls came through in some fashion. They came through Sirius before they connected to this planet. It didn't mean that they originated there, but that was the pathway from Arcturus. You have a strong connection to Sirius, as many do, and you came through the Temple of Isis when you came through, and you stayed there for a period of time to be taught some of, well, they say more than some, much of the teachings of Isis. They are showing me a picture of the knot of Isis, which is an acknowledgement of mastery in Isis teachings and abilities. And so, yes, that connection with Sirius is great, and that you have gifts of the healer. It is one of the purposes that you are here on this planet at this particular time, is to follow an aspect of healing. And I feel that I have to disconnect right now, Julia, because we are coming up to the end of our time. Keep in mind that what I've said is not stating that this other information is correct. I mean, incorrect. It could just be that you're from two places that sound, or have experienced two places that are similar. But the cherubim definitely did say that you came through Sirius.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Did you have a connection with that, Julia?
It's possible. I wasn't sure, because I know when she said Cyrus, that's what I thought she meant to say,
mm-hmm,
was Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was very clear that Sirius was not what she was meaning. She specifically said Cyrus. So that's why I was asking you.
Yes.
It didn't, you know, I've never heard of it, so.
Sounds change through the dimensions.
Yeah.
Actually, angelic language is different than what we suppose it is. You know, their own alphabet is different. Names are very different. But, Julia, call back another time with a question. I'm not saying that is incorrect. I am just saying that you do have a tie with Sirius, and it doesn't mean that you don't have one with Cyrus. It's just at the moment, and at the time that we have, we're not picking something up on that right
now. Okay, that's fine. Well, I know she said that it wasn't Archangel Michael said through her that it was in a different area. It wasn't even in the same area that Sirius is located in the solar system or whatever.
Cosmos is a large place.
Cosmos,
Julia, we've been through many of these depths. The only thing that I could say, if you want a more complete reading, because I do think your soul is prompting you to explore your foundation, so to speak, and if you're so inclined, you can go to www.carolynevers.com and ask for a reading if you're so inclined.
Okay, all right.
Call back again, Julia.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a wonderful
dear.
Evening.
Bye.
You have a nice
Bye-bye.
Weekend.
Well, Caroline, it is time for us to say au revoir. We're being fancy today, you know.
You certainly are. My goodness.
Well, you know, you were talking about the Southern accent. You know, I was just throwing something out. You know, we're not all Southern here.
Exactly.
Give your phone number one more time.
Okay.
Before we say auf Wiedersehen.
My phone number is 540-586-2401. And Carolyn's website is?
I love it. www.carolynevers.com. Got one quick reminder. If you haven't signed up for Archangel Michael's conference call for the month of April, send me email at carolyn@carolynevers.com. We will see you all in 2 weeks. Love you all.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye, Carolyn.